This is Moses, Jesus, and the Father. Now we'll continue where we finished on the last segment about how Jesus was that prophet. Let's see what Jesus taught his disciples concerning himself after he was resurrected. Now this becomes very important to understand because he had been raised from the dead. A lot of people say, well, after the resurrection of Jesus, everything changed. No, it didn't. It was amplified. It was expanded. It was open to understanding. But it didn't do, like a lot of people say, did away with the law or do away with the prophets. Because remember, Jesus said, do not think. So I want you to concentrate on that for just a minute. What does it mean, do not think? That means don't let it enter into your mind or contemplate the thought. Now continuing with what Jesus said, that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. What are you going to do if people say he did away with the law? What are you going to do, like one theologian says, all 613 commandments found in the law of Moses are null and void and have no forensic value for us today? I don't think he ever read the scripture. Don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. And I don't think he ever read the scripture. Don't take away from what God has said. All right? Now let's see what Jesus did. What he himself, after he was resurrected, personally taught his apostles and disciples. Now remember, after he was resurrected, he was walking along, and there were the two that were going to Emmaus. And he came up to them and he said, what is this you're talking about? And he says, oh, the man Jesus, we thought that he would bring salvation to Israel, but now it's after the third day and he said he would rise the third day and we don't know what happened to him. And the Jews were saying, well, they stole his body away. So he walked along with them and then he corrected them because they didn't understand the laws and the prophets the way that they should. Then he went into an inn in Emmaus, and they sat down to eat. And after he asked the blessing and broke the bread, they recognized that it was Jesus. And Jesus vanished from them, because as a spirit being, he could walk through a wall. So they ran back to the apostles, saying, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord. So while they were saying this, all of a sudden Jesus appeared right in the room. They were all astonished. They didn't know what to do. They thought they were seeing a demon. But Jesus said, a demon does not have flesh and bone like I have. So a spirit being can appear as flesh and bone. Remember, he didn't say flesh and blood. So he said, do you have something to eat? So they gave him honey and fish. And after he ate that, then he began to further instruct them. Now let's notice what he said. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all the things which were written concerning me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Very interesting. Those are the three divisions of the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And that's what this Bible, the Bible in its original order, reestablishes. It establishes the proper divisions of the Bible. And that's why this program, Church at Home, and CBCG.org, Christian Biblical Church of God.org, is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. to truly examine the scriptures, to present the truth, to present the word of God. This is not a movement. This has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with numbers. It has to do with you and God in your home. Now let's read what else Jesus said. Verse 45 becomes a very important thing for everyone. Because, see, here is the key. Most of the people in the world, because they don't believe God, and because they reject either the Old Testament, as Protestant and Catholicism do, or, as the Jews, they reject the New Testament. Most of them do. Very few really believe in Jesus. And so they're blinded. Here's something to understand. Never forget this. Whenever you reject any of the words of God, Old Testament or New Testament, you blind your mind and you can't understand. See, because in order to understand the scriptures, something has to happen in your attitude and what God does to reciprocate that, which is this. The word of God is truth. The word of God is eternal. And we are to believe it. And if we believe it, then something happens. The blindness is removed. That's why you need Moses, Jesus, and the Father. Let's see what Jesus said. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's what this church at home is dedicated to do. To help you understand the scriptures. Now, what did he refer to as scriptures? The law, the prophets, and the writings, which are the Psalms. Interesting, isn't it? And he said to them, verse 46, according as it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and in his name repentance and remission of sin should be preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And that's also what Church at Home is all about. Restoring original Christianity, restoring the original teachings of the Bible, Old and New Testament, and to teach you what you need to do and to call you to repentance and turn to God. The Bible's here for you to understand. You live in a fantastic age that has only been available since the beginning of the printing press, but now available on such a massive scale that it's almost unreal to contemplate, that we now have the whole Bible. And what are you going to do about it now that you have it? Are you going to believe God? Are you going to believe Jesus Christ? Are you going to believe Moses? What are you going to do? Well, we'll talk about repentance in another segment, because that's also the key, the most important factor in your life. Now, let's come to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. And let's see that at the reading of Moses, there is a veil which has to be done away through Christ. The veil is lifted. God doesn't do away with the law and the prophets. He lifts the veil so that you can understand it. That is important to grasp. Now, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14. But their minds were blinded, that is, the children of Israel, because they didn't believe God. Even though he gave them the writings, even though he gave them the law, even though Moses wrote them down and told them and warned them that these things are going to judge them, so you better keep them, and God gave them for your good, that it may be well with you. but their minds were blinded, for to the present hour the same veil has not been removed, but remains at the reading of the Old Covenant, which veil is removed in Christ. Please understand this. It's very important to grasp. The veil is removed. Your understanding of your mind is open to understand the Word of God. But you have to believe God and believe the words of Christ and believe Moses. All of those are so. Now, verse 17. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That is freedom from the blindness, freedom from the veil. Now, it's very important to understand that even those who were the religious leaders, it's exactly the same thing that we have today. Oh, they claim to know about God. They claim to know about Jesus. They claim to know about how to show the way to life, but they do exactly as the scribes and Pharisees do. Let's come here to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Now, before we read the verse, verse 19, I want you to remember what Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. He said to them, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me." So it's the same thing that is true for us today. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. And if you believe Jesus, then the veil will be lifted from your mind. You will be able to understand the scriptures. You will be able to understand Moses. And you will be able to understand that all of the things that Jesus brought to bring the spirit of the law, the spirit of the understanding, the true meaning behind the laws and commandments of God, did not do away with them, brought the spiritual meaning of them. Now, John 7 and verse 19, speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet not one of you is practicing the law?" What a scripture. Those who believe in Judaism today say, "Well, you know, we've always obeyed God." Not so. He said, they didn't do it. You're not practicing it. What were they doing? What were they practicing? And I'll announce right here that very soon we're going to have a book which you can receive free, and it's going to be entitled, "Judaism is Not the Law of Moses." And that's going to come as a fantastic surprise to most people. Now, let's come to Mark, the 7th chapter. Let's see what they were doing. This is why Jesus, when you go through and read how Jesus dealt with the religious leaders, he excoriated them all the time. Because they were rejecting God. They were rejecting the truth. They weren't keeping the law of Moses. They weren't practicing it. Oh, they had the form of it. Oh, they knew which day was the Sabbath. They knew which days were the holy days. But they weren't keeping it the way that they should. They weren't following God the way that he commanded. Let's see what they were doing. Just like people do today. Not only do they have the veil over their eyes so they can't understand Moses, but they also bring in their own ideas and their own teachings and their own doctrines. And what happens? Pretty soon the truth of God is lost and buried, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, let's come here to Mark 7. And this is talking about their traditions. They had many, many traditions that they had. Here was the incident of the washing of cups and pots and pans. Notice what these traditions do. Notice what the false teachings of men wrapped in the wrapping of Jesus, or wrapped in the wrapping of the Bible, but rejecting most of it, does. Remember, there is the blindness, and when there's the veil, there is the blindness. Now, Mark 7, verse 6. And he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. And that's the way that it is with most people. Oh, there are a lot of people who consider themselves good Catholics. There are a lot of people who consider themselves good Protestants. There are other people who consider themselves good Muslims, you see, because we worship Allah. There are others who consider themselves good Buddhists and good Hindus, etc. But do they believe God? Do they believe the Bible? Do they believe the truth of what Jesus said? Or are they blinded? Do they have ideas about it? Now, I make a practice to do this. I read what the different religions have to say. And I know what they teach. You know, like Patton, remember the movie Patton? And he was there with his binoculars watching the tanks of Rommel come up in the valley. And he said, Rommel, you blinkety blank, I read your book. So he knew how to attack him. And he saw his weakness. Likewise, I've read the book by Deepak Chopra, To Know God. Now, I have excerpts of that in the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? And you need to get that book. Just write into us at Post Office Box 1442, and we'll send it to you at no cost. And he was extolling Hinduism. How wonderful that it is. And I remember I was on a plane going to Seattle, and here was a woman reading the book, To Know God by Deepak Chopra. So I looked at part of it as the woman was reading, and I knew that that couldn't possibly be true. And maybe I offended the woman, but I said, you know, if you're reading that book, he doesn't know a thing about God. So I got the book and read it. Sure enough, he doesn't know a thing about God. You know his final answer is? You are God. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at God. And he leads people into demonism. See, they're blinded with those things. Notice what happens. When you profess God, but your heart is not right with him. So we all need to ask, where is my heart? Is my heart devoted to God? My mind devoted to him? Or is this a curious fancy? Do I just want a little information? And if it gets uncomfortable, I'll just set it aside. I don't want to have my righteousness disturbed by something else. Too many people are that way. All right, let's continue on here. Verse 7. So you think about this. Next time you go to church, if you go to church on Sunday, or if you go into Catholic Cathedral for Mass, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. All the traditions of men. What does your church teach? What does your group teach? Are they the commandments of men? Oh, well, they may have some of the commandments of God, but are they the commandments of men? Notice what happens. For leaving the commandment of God, you hold fast the tradition of men, such as the washing of pots and cups, and you practice many other things like this. What tradition do you follow that the church tells you to do, or the synagogue tells you to do, or the Quran tells you to do, or Hinduism tells you to do, or Buddhism tells you to do? You blind your minds. You're cut off from God. You may have a religion. You may feel you get some benefit from it. But unless you have God the Father and Jesus Christ, and remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So everything you're doing is in vain. It's like Jesus said. Because it's true. God is this way. God says, and I'll just use a little modern vernacular, it's my way or the highway. See? No human being's going to come to God and tell him what to do. No human being's going to come along and improve on the Word of God. It ain't gonna happen. That's not the way God works. So I want you to deeply think about these things. Let's read on. What else happens? Verse 9. Then he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God so that you may honor your own tradition. Isn't that amazing? Whatever tradition is there, when you honor the tradition of men, you reject God. Think about that the next time that someone gives you, oh, it's the law of the church. Oh, well, this is our tradition. What is it? Where did it come from? Why is it a tradition? Why does God's word need the added traditions of men? He doesn't. He never sent them. They don't belong with the word of God. They all reject God. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to really, 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 really be honest. And don't think that I'm attacking you, because I'm not. I'm bringing out the truth concerning how people reject God and wonder, why is everything going wrong in my life? How they reject God and go to church. Where's God? How come the sermon is the way that it is? How come I see carnal people in church just like in the world? Aren't they supposed to be converted? And what benefit do you have when you go into a cathedral and you do all of the set ritual that is there and all the genuflexing and taking of the mass when it's not in the Bible? Does that not reject God? Oh, but you may say, I'm a good Catholic. My folks were Catholics. My grandparents were Catholics. If they're Catholic, that's good enough for me. That's not the question. Is it good enough for God? Now, let's come to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and let's understand why we need the writings of Moses, why we need the Old Testament, including the prophets and the Psalms. And then the Psalms includes Proverbs and Job and Ecclesiastes and all of those. We need those. Those are instructions for us. As a matter of fact, for your kids, if you really want to teach your children some things, you do a study through the book of Proverbs. That's designed for young people to know right and wrong, good and evil. And in the very first chapter, you know what it talks about? Don't get involved in gangs. Hello? What's one of the main problems in America today? Gangs. God says don't do it. Now, let's come to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and let's see what Paul wrote to Timothy concerning what he should be doing. Verse 15, and that from a child you have known the holy writings, that's the whole Old Testament, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amazing! You're not going to have salvation unless you understand the Old Testament. What do you know about that? Now notice verse 16. All scripture, and all means each and every one. All scripture is God-breathed. Didn't come out of the head of a man. God used the man as an instrumentality to write what he wanted written, and is profitable for doctrine, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Now listen, to understand things. God wants you to understand the Bible. God wants you to understand His Word. God wants to lift the veil when Moses is read, and the blindness from following the traditions of men. But you have got to come to God, and you have got to take the time in the solitude of your home, turn off the radio, turn off the television. If your family is there, all get together, get out your Bibles, study the Word of God, follow the 14 rules of Bible study, and find out what God has to say. Because remember, the Bible is the Word of God, a written message from God to every human being to let them know what is their requirement before God and how do they receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what it's for. Now, please visit our other website, cbcg.org. There you will find hundreds of very detailed sermons concerning scriptural living, understanding the Bible, prophecy, and many things that will lift the veil and clear your mind and give you a true perspective as to what God wants, and that it can lead you to repentance and truth and answered prayer. And remember this, God will be with you if you are with Him. But if you're not with Him, He won't be with you. So I hope that these things really help you open your mind to the true teachings of the Bible. And so thank you for inviting me into your home once again. And remember to go to our other website, cbcg.org. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone, until next time.